Welcome to the Scale Model Podcast. In this podcast, we aim to entertain, inform, and promote the hobby of scale model kit building with interviews, reviews, and news about the hobby. The podcast is available bi-weekly where your favorite podcasts are found, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can also get it from our website at scalemodelpodcast.com, where you can find show notes, photo gallery, and so much more. You can also subscribe to get notifications on all our updates, new episodes, and video content. Please support the Scale Model Podcast on Patreon. Patreon supporters enjoy early access to content and exclusive contests. Your Patreon support helps us to offset hosting and other costs to bring the podcast to you. Welcome to episode 137 of the Scale Model Podcast, sponsored by Cult TV Man, Sean's Custom Model Tools, and Return to Kit Form. My name is Stuart Clark, and I'm here on a very cold, cold March day. We're recording this on Monday, March the 18th. And both Jeff and Jeff's fled for warmer climes in South Carolina, and Terry was otherwise engaged. So we had to drag him home from his world tour. Mr. Anthony Goodman, how are you, sir?
Hello, hello, hello. Nice to be back, eh? Just like the old days, Stuart.
Just like the old days. The band is back together. Good for you to join us. And so, first of all, how are things with you?
Really good, thanks. I've been busy working away. I've been building a ton of models.
I see.
I've been trying to keep up with things, but, you know, maybe you're going to have to fill me in on what's happening in the scale model world.
Lots of new releases. There seems to be lots of complaining still from some people and lots of new releases. Oh, wait, that's Facebook in general. So anyway.
So nothing's changed.
Some things don't change. And don't mention judging. 1, 2, 3 versus gold, silver, bronze, for God's sake.
Oh, God.
That's a whole other
still battle. Talking about that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know if you know this, Stuart, but I have not looked at Facebook in a long time. So my page is still active. I've been using Instagram to disengage a little bit from the social media world. Right. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to totally, you know, get rid of the models. I still have my website I'm supposed to be working on, but I've been using Instagram to post just little build updates for those who care to see what I'm working on.
I've been seeing
they're owned by Meta, right? It automatically dumps it onto my Facebook page. So people are seeing it there. I like yourself, for example, but I haven't been on Facebook in months and I'm not sure that I miss it.
Good for you. I use it mostly for this and I use it just for a few select people. And there's a lot of groups I've cut over the years and I follow a lot of modeling groups and that's about it. Mm-hmm. It's very much for the hobby now. Agreed. Good for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so as always, let's thank our Patreon and Buy Me a Coffee supporters. In particular, Gareth Burge bought us 5 coffees. He says, keep up the great work, guys. Appreciate the work you put on the other side of the pond. A relaxing, informative listen. Some time back there was a mini feature on airbrush management. Love that and would be great for more mini skills, tricks, and tips from you guys. Cheers from Scotland.
Oh, right on. Hey, there used to be a thing called the Goodman Tool Minute.
I know. I'm just, you know, I just think, how's that rather apropos?
I know. Well, thanks, Gareth. That's really nice of you.
I know. I'm not going to say
Stuart
anything
Stuart never
more.
Bought me a coffee.
Well, he bought the show a coffee. Pays for the hosting. I'm sure I bought you a beer.
Yeah, you have. Probably. And you're 137 episodes old.
Yeah,
so congratulations on that, Stu. You've kept the dream alive.
Kept the dream alive. I love it. And we're coming up to our favorite show other than ours, of course, when we have it. But Heritage Con's coming up, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Don't forget, check out our What We Like page. This is where I put stuff like the reading links and other tools and all that. So check that out. But we have big news, and it was rather appropriate that Anthony's coming on because he's our expert in all things Gundam and all things Macross. And
all
things Japanese giant robots.
But I do like ye.
Yeah. So March 18th, Monday. What's going on, Anthony?
Holy crap. So I you know what? And I got to say, this has got to be big news because I am not up to date on any news and anything. And I'm kind of stuck in the past. But big announcement today. The Macross IP, which is definitely one of my favorite modeling subjects and favorite anime subjects. And now Stuart seems to have more and more Valkyries every time
it's
I talk to him.
It's all Anthony's fault. It's all
one of the triumvirate of great mecha animes from the 80s. But they're getting a big release on Disney Plus. So if anyone is familiar with Robotech and Macross, this goes way back, and it is the most nebulous, tangled octopi of IP and companies fighting over rights and weird international licensing issues that these show all the Macross shows have been tied up and very inaccessible for anyone not in Japan. So way back when there was Robotech in the 80s, it probably turned a lot of people on to sci-fi mecha anime models. That for certainly for me, that's kind of where it kicked the buzz kind of kicked in from. So there the original show was an 80s show. There was a movie that was kind of a remake that was a spectacular film called Do You Remember Love? And it's just an amazing piece of animation. And I've never seen a legit copy of it. I had a weird VHS tape of it as a kid, and it was quite edited and censored and whatnot. And then, years later, I got a weird Hong Kong bootleg that was no good. And I don't want to buy bootlegs anyway,
No.
right? But that stuff's been really tied up. So, but I guess a lot was it maybe 2 years ago, the big licensee holders in Japan, it was Big West and Tatsunoko, I think. And then in the West, it was Harmony Gold. They own the rights to part of the material that formed Robotech for that, like for the Western, region. But they have been warring for years, and it's really stalled out the ability for fans just to get stuff. But they
Right.
came to an agreement. It was quite convoluted. I can't possibly recount it back to you. I'm no expert. But part of this deal was that all these Macross shows, and there's tons of them, are getting a release, and we didn't quite know how that, what the form or how that was going to take shape. But now we know it's on Disney Plus. That's amazing. So it's going to be everything except for the original show and the feature film.
Awesome.
So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why that's what's going on with that. Hopefully we get that as well. There have been versions over the years. So I do have a DVD copy of a set of the TV show that's quite good. Like has proper translation, good subtitles. It's not edited. It was like in high restored to high quality and all this
Right.
stuff like that. But even that's like you can't find that now. I'm
Right.
lucky to have found a copy 20 years ago. So this is huge. So it's gonna have Macross 7, Macross Plus. It's gonna have the newer shows, Delta and Frontier. It's gonna have all the OVAs and movies.
That'll be good.
It's huge. It's great. And
Huge
so
news.
Disney Plus, now you do have to check on you do have to check if you are a subscriber to Disney Plus and you're interested in this, you do have to check because I have a feeling that our friends in the United States are not quite getting this.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's part of the
Okay.
Stars subheading, or how they oftentimes the subscription services, you buy the basic package and then they want you to upgrade for a couple extra bucks to get their premium content. So this is on Stars. So if you have Disney Plus in Canada, you have Stars.
Okay.
But and there's a if you go to their site, you can see all the countries that are set up in that arrangement. And I think it was like Latin America. Japan has everything, obviously. Canada's on the list. I think a lot of European countries, Australia is on the list, but the USA wasn't. I thought it was weird. So it may be a different kind of package based on the how
Right.
it's set up there.
And
But I hope that,
it's coming out this year, they're
yeah,
saying.
end of 2024. So
Right.
that's quite exciting. So I've watched a couple of these on, bootlegs, and it's just not how I wanna,
No, you want
and
to
you never
support the
get a good
IP.
quality. Yeah, you want to support it, but it was just not available. Like very hard to find anything. It was very frustrating. So, yeah, I think this is huge. This is big, and
Great
people have just
news.
been waiting years and years and years for this. So unbelievable. I think that's amazing. And you know what? Good for them. Make money, make more model kits, right?
Exactly.
Generate. I think they're working on a new Macross series, or that's going to be launched this year or next year.
Okay.
But wow, I mean, it has such a huge fan base in the States and Canada and Latin America.
Oh, exactly. Yep.
So, and
Very
I'm one of
good.
those guys. I'm a fan of both. Some people are purists, some people are I grew up with Robotech. That's the best one, but I kind of like them both. They're
me too.
Different. Yeah. So
yep, they're
that's
different in
huge.
their own ways. That's awesome. So yeah, fabulous news.
Yeah.
And again, it worked out rather well. We were going to have you on the show tonight. So
yeah, isn't that funny, eh?
I know, that's hilarious.
Stars
See,
align.
they were waiting. They were waiting until they knew you were coming on, and then they released the
Yeah.
announcement. See?
Well, no, we were chatting before we started recording, and you were showing me, you were telling me about your Valkyrie projects. Do you want to tie one on here and tell the listeners what you have been getting into?
Well, I've been doing a lot of what if RCAF. So I did do one. I think I did the YF-19, I believe,
Yep.
in a what if scheme, and I just finished a YF-21 and did that one in a what if scheme. And recently, Peter, who's my Macross crack dealer at Neo Tokyo, he also mentioned this news today as well. He sent me a brief message this morning.
He sent me a message too.
No, he's good for that. And I just got from him a VE1 a lint seeker Macross.
Yes.
So that's like a ray one with like a radome. I love the ones with the
Oh, I
radomes.
love that one.
Yeah.
You
So
did you
that's
know
that.
that? So it's the eLint Seeker, right? It's Electronic Intelligence
Yep.
Seeker,
Yep.
right?
I read that up. There's a bunch of different ones.
It's a
So
mouthful.
this one's the VE1. So I'm
Yes.
not sure if I'm going to do it as a Canadian what if or a Macross, but I'm going to do it in flight. This one I'm going to do it in
Yeah.
flight because it's got that little ray antenna package that
Yes.
once it takes
It like
off, it deploys
slung
downwards.
low. Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, below the
That's one of my
fuselage.
favorite designs of all time.
Yep. Yeah,
Uh,
no, I've
yeah, I
got a
love that.
few. I've got one with the block aces and a few other ones. So all
Excellent.
sorts of fun things. You know, and again, one of our sponsors, Brett will be really pleased at Return to Kit Form that this will be coming back because I think this will definitely bring stuff back. And I know Hasegawa's been re-releasing items and
Yep,
some of the
yeah.
manufacturers. So it's good to see. Really good to see.
Oh, it's
Okay.
going strong.
Yeah,
Yeah.
let's move on to the mailbag. Before I forget, latest news. By the time you hear this, you'll either have been there or going on your way to Heritage Con. So we are going to be there in force. We'll be doing a lot of interviews. So the next podcast after that, we'll have a lot of content from Heritage Con at the Canadian Warplane Heritage Museum on the Sunday.
Awesome.
Yeah, gonna be a good time. Okay, the mailbag. Andrew Armstrong out of Centerpoint, New York. Hey guys, listening to the last episode, I feel obliged to let you guys know about Paint Rack. I first heard it on the Bench episode 174 when the boys down under interviewed the designer. It's a great way to keep track of your paint. You can scan your bottles and the search function works really well too. It has a good set of color tools. No more buying paint you already have. So this is an iOS app. I've had it before, I just never
Yeah.
used it. But
Yeah.
no, it's really good when you start getting a lot of paints because you can scan the barcodes and that way you're not like buying, like as I said, I think I've got three bottles of Tamiya semi-gloss black because I kept forgetting I had one.
Yeah. I have
There's
a
a
lot
few,
of paint.
yeah, there's a
I
few
love buying
colors.
paint.
There's a few colors like interior green from aqueous that I'm worried about.
Yeah.
I won't find it anymore. And I build a lot of RAF subjects. I do purposely buy duplicates. But I
Yes.
tend to avoid it. And there's so many good color ranges now. So it's nice
Yeah.
to see. So we'll see what happens there. So thanks for letting us know, Andrew. That's only on iOS,
Yeah.
unfortunately, though, gentlemen and ladies. Okay. As always, we want to hear about you. You can always reach us at scalemodelpodcast@gmail.com. Send us what you're up to. Okay, the other big news. This morning on Monday morning, AK had an announcement. They've updated their Real Color line. This is their lacquer line. So this is, and I posted a link to the YouTube announcement. So AK Real Color is their lacquer line. It was formerly in glass bottles, looked like Tamiya or aqueous.
Okay.
Now it's in dropper bottles, 17 mil dropper bottles, but the cap's different. So instead of being like a fluted cap, it's a straight cap, kind of like the ammo. It's kind of interesting. Ammo's got a new range out too, and very similar looking cap design. So I don't know. I don't know if in Spain you get this cap design cheap if you order in bulk or something,
I
but.
think I get the idea, right? That you can count out, like, it gives you a bit of precision, right? You can count out drops if you're trying
Dropper
to do
bottles,
mixes,
yeah, and that's what a lot
right?
of people like. Now I did
It
read
takes a
some.
bit of the mystery out of,
Yep,
like, when you
exactly.
say, oh, I'm mixing this up, and then,
Yep.
like, I have a lot of the glass bottles because I mainly have Tamiya and Mr. Color, right? So when you're trying to do proportions, it's like I use my stir stick to get some you know, a little bit of volume of paint in until it looks right. It's hard to recreate, let's say, if you don't make a bottle, which I do now, but if you make a custom mix, but if you have, hey, a dropper bottle and you've written down, I made a custom mix for this plane and it's 50-50 or 60-40, then, and you didn't make a bottle, you can always go back to and easily recreate it. So I can kind of see that people would like that.
Yeah.
Right. So this, it takes a bit of the mystery out of this.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so they're going to have 26 standard colors, 24 civil colors, and 130 military colors. Now, they have said, they had quite a few more before. They have said they are going to be adding some more military colors in very soon in the future. So that's very exciting news. All the paint companies are really redoing their formulas. You know, Vallejo announced last week, or the week before, their standard, you know, model color. It's a whole new formula. This apparently is, the formula is almost identical. It's more the bottles that they're coming out with. They're changing from that. I'm sure it won't be, I'm sure the various retailers and stores won't be happy because they'll have to buy a new paint rack.
I think that's a huge pain for them.
Well, it's a big expense, and it's the same thing with the Vallejo, right? You know, like they changed the dropper bottles will fit in an old paint rack, but you know, it's, again, it's still, if you change your design, you know, like I know our local store, he's not going to go out and buy all 300 Vallejo colors right away. He'll replace it as he runs out.
He did explain too that they're part of adopting a new line for sale in your store means a big output. You have to they have to pay for the rack.
They
the display
rack,
is not given to them.
Yeah,
so they have to lay out a big investment and kind of think, is this going to be a hot seller or not?
Exactly.
And it can make a lot of trepidation.
I know, for example, if you want to buy a rack of Tamiya, you have to buy the rack, and you've got to buy at least six of each color.
Right.
Because that's how they come. They come in boxes of six per color.
Right. Yeah, same with Mr. Color too, right?
Yep. It's a big outlay. Huge outlay. So so we'll see what happens there. But no, that's very exciting news that they're going to come out with that. Also, some other AK news for March. One excites me about it here. They've got a Israeli Defense Force power wagon in 135th scale they've announced. It's a cargo truck with a winch. A lot of different schemes there. It looks quite nice. They've got their bottles and cans in 135th scale because, you know, their goal is to make everything possible that you want to put in a diorama. There is that. They've got a new book, Modeling Modern Armored Fighting 8x8 Vehicles for 29 euros. Looks like a nice looking book there. Now, here's one that excites me. They're coming out with their own AK Gen 3, the Airbrush Flow Improver. I use their Gen 3. It's great paint. But what I do is I use their thinner, and then I add a drop or two of Vallejo Flow Improver. So, you know, and it does
How's that working?
It makes a difference. Just makes it that little bit smoother, you know, and it works great. So if they have their own, this is good for people who maybe don't have a Vallejo dealer in their area. So you can do it all with AK and do it themselves. So it's the same larger bottle. That's going to be nice to have. I'm looking forward to trying that.
Yeah, that's an important element. I think a lot of people maybe are not familiar with is using the one I use is called paint retarder, right? There's a Tamiya version, there's a Mr. Color version, but especially if you know you're going to be a little bit longer, or if you're going in for a bit finer, you need that paint to flow smoothly. Yep. So
it just makes a difference. Like I never have a problem with tip dry or anything, but I just found when I would mix with the AK thinner and the AK paint, it flowed well. But just that little drop of Flow Improver made all the difference. It just flows that little bit nicer. It's like when you're having Tamiya and you use model leveling thinner. Just makes that little bit nicer. So, again, for people who don't have access and who like to prefer the AK brand, this is going to be nice for them.
They're interchangeable. That's great. And I tried some, actually recently tried some of the Vallejo paints, and I didn't, it doesn't seem to me as good a system as the Tamiya or Mr. Color, but you know, everyone's got their favorites.
I think it comes, you know, and I've said this before, it comes down to what you know well. Like I've said, I can do Tamiya, I can mix Tamiya and Aquius with my eyes closed, one hand tied behind my back, you know, for the year.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, anytime you try a new system, you're going to have to practice for a while. get a paint mule out. I find I've come back to Vallejo. I don't have that many other than some of the Vallejo Airs, but I've been, reminding myself these are pure acrylics, and the AK is just fabulous. Again, you just have to realize it's a slightly different product. Like I find with the AK, you put on more thinner coats, right? So when you start, where with Tamiya, you've got a, I won't call it forgiveness, but it's a different style. Basically. Yeah. Same thing with the aqueous. It's because it's not a true acrylic. It's an alcohol based. But I find the AK, the Gen 3 is beautiful, and you can hand paint with it.
Ooh, that's always
with
a huge
Tamiya
plus.
And the aqueous, you have to either add paint retarder or whatever to hand paint.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
And
yeah.
As I'm doing more minis and stuff like that, I'm really enjoying that. And we've got a store here that sells sets, and one of our local stores, our gaming store, sells most of the line. So it's nice too. Also featured, they've got cemetery accessories and barrels and boxes. You want some tombstones, Anthony, for some minis?
Tombstones.
You can get it now. and some barrels and some boxes, even little angels or whatnot. So that's all.
Like headstones?
Headstones and stuff
like carvings.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny.
Now, another big news on the weekend that came out.
Yeah.
As regular listeners know, I've been building these Hmong Dune ornithopters because the second Dune movie came out and they released them. They're roughly 1/200th scale. They're like little mini, they're like the Bandai Star Wars kits. Go together really well, pretty well snap fit if you want. Well, they have announced now an Atreides ornithopter in 1/72nd scale. It's
wow,
gonna be huge.
Cool.
Yeah, so this thing,
those
okay,
are interesting designs.
Yeah, so have you seen the movie?
I did see the first part.
Okay,
and I really
second
enjoyed
one's
it.
out
That
now.
Was great.
Yeah, second one's out now. But the ornithopters are quite, it really brings the way Frank Herbert imagined it, most readers of the book. So this thing's going to be huge. It's going to be 31 centimeters in length. But then if you decide
Whoa.
To deploy the wings, 72 centimeters.
My goodness.
Yeah,
I thought
big.
They were smaller.
They're
from
small,
the,
but
but
the
I guess
wings
they...
are the wings are very, like if you look at the pictures we have in the link, it's huge. And then they show one beside the 72nd scale, one beside the 1/200th. So you get an idea of the size. But this is going to be really nice. And I know a lot of people very excited.
Are you going to get one?
I might, but here's something scary. There's actually some people that have 3D printed one in 1/35th scale.
Oh, wow. It's supposed to be huge, right?
Yeah, that would be huge as well. But no, that's exciting news that they kind of dropped that bombshell on the weekend.
Very cool.
All right, going on to our friends at the modeling news. I thought this was cute. Mantis Miniature, four new flora and fauna sets. So you want, cats going through the garbage can with some pigeons and some rats?
That's kind of stuff I want, for sure.
Yeah, you want some pelicans. You want some vegetables. You want vegetables
I want
in
an eggplant.
boxes. You got it.
Yes.
You got it
Yeah.
now.
Well,
perfect
you
for
know,
your
like
diorama you needs.
When you even look at, when you look at, for example, photos from World War II, like of armor, they didn't have like sleeping bags, pioneer tools, and ammo crates. They were covered all kinds of stuff that people that they wanted, like that the crews needed. They would have a basket of vegetables if they could get their hands on that. That would be prized, right? So if you want to push your military models to the next level of detail, this is the type of thing you might want to explore, right? Because now some of this other stuff is kind of neat. The animals, like there's like
even a lobster.
It looks like cabbages, or there's like cabbages and cauliflower like in the ground. So then obviously, like you mentioned, diorama materials are great. The cat in the garbage bag, that's
I love
awesome.
that. I love
I might
that.
get this.
Yeah, I know. I like the ones with the cats in the garbage can and
yeah,
some
that's
pigeons
great.
and rats and
Something
the
different,
seabirds.
right?
One even has a lobster. So
A
yeah, and
lobster.
they're all from they're all 3D printed in resin.
That's pretty cool. Oh
so
yeah,
for
I just love a
example, the
lobster.
animal set, €17, so multiplied
That's
by
pretty
about
cool.
1.5. Yeah,
Well, that's great.
amazing stuff from Mantis.
Yeah.
Okay, my good friends at Special Hobbies. I like supporting Special Hobbies because they update their website.
Oh, that's all
their,
right. Oh, yeah.
just their socials.
Hey, are you digging at me? I haven't updated my website in like 6 months.
No, I'm ditching all the other manufacturers that have stuff like they update their Facebook, but their website hasn't been updated since pre-COVID. No, people know. People know I do that rant. It's
I
not
know,
a
I
show
know.
if I don't do that rant. So, yep,
what do we got?
The newsletter from the president. A couple of kits here. We have a Ki-54 Hickory captured and in post-war service.
Well, that's cool.
Yep, 1/72 scale. The P-40FL Warhawk Desert Hawks with the Merlin engine.
No, that's awesome.
That looks good. And then a Italian trainer. The SIAL Marchetti SF-260.
That's a nice looking bird.
Yep. And then, of course, they've got a lot of their resin kits. So for the 48 scale Avenger, paddle blade propeller correction set, Vietnam era U.S. helicopter pilot helmets. And then we have a Humber LRC 148 resin kit.
Interesting.
A nice little Humber. And then Thunderstreak wheels, 1/72 for the special hobby. A 148 searchlight, the Flakschweinwerfer. Giant, giant searchlight in a trailer with a battery, I assume. 60 centimeter diameter. There we go.
I think your pronunciations are getting better there, Stu.
Well, that's just lucky. That was an easy one. No, not really. Just listen to the last couple of ones. This one I like. How about this? A Typhoon Mark I engine for the Airfix kit. That is gorgeous.
That's amazing.
In
That's
72nd
awesome.
scale. Yeah,
Wow.
covers the
That's
top of the
pretty
Sabre
slick.
engine. Yeah, that looks pretty nice. Pretty tiny. And then we've got the Typhoon Mark I gun sight and seat correction kit for the Airfix, the three-bladed propeller, and then a MG-15 machine gun with infantry
Wow.
modification. So yeah, so that's what's new from our good friends at Special Hobbies, which continue to do all sorts of good things.
Great stuff.
Okay, a couple Canadian news. Kinetic, they're going to be releasing an RCAF Starfighter. This is the two-seater. This is the CF-104D and 148 scale. We haven't had a good Starfighter kit in Canada in a long time, so I know a lot of people will be pleased about this.
Yeah, this will be huge.
This will be very, very big. Not too much yet about it, but just decals will be by Belcher Bits. And
Nice.
yeah, very nice looking. The man, the missile with a man in it, as they used to call it.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's such a classic.
Yep.
That's a classic
The
part of
Widowmaker.
Canadian
Yep.
aviation history.
Yep. And then speaking of crazy guys, Jet Mads, you know, they're the ones that do all these giant 1/32 subjects. They are taking reservations for a resin-based 1/32 scale Republic F-84F, the Thunderstreak, with
Oh
a
man,
nuke.
people
With
will
a
be
nuke to
very
lob. Yep.
excited about that. That's
Yeah.
not
I want to see someone painting the nuke glowing, though.
that's not morbid at all.
No. $295 US. So there you go.
Wow.
That'll be big. Well, again, they do the big
Yeah.
stuff. Looks
That's
like
gonna be.
looks like the nuke comes with its own trolley.
Oh wow. Limited edition kit too.
Yeah, oh yeah.
500 copies. Oh my
Yep, not
goodness.
too many, but they do
Oh.
some crazy stuff at their website. You know, they've got, you know, the Thunderstreak, all sorts of.
Does this say if this is just printed, 3D printed?
This is like a resin.
All resin kit,
Yeah, they're like, for example, they already announced the FH-1 Phantom. They got all sorts of things. It's
What
a
do we say
dangerous
here?
site.
200. The listing price of the kit is $295 US.
Yeah.
So what? 350, 375
Yeah. It's a
Canadian. You know,
it's a big kit.
that's not,
No, for
it's
what you're
not,
getting.
yeah. Like in terms of resin pricing, it's not out of the realm of reasonableness
Yeah,
for
and
that
they've
type
done
of
a lot of
thing.
different projects in different scales, mostly 32nd. But they are planning. This is what they're talking about. They haven't done much about it, but they want to do some more 1/18 kits. So they want to do an A4 Skyhawk, an
Wow.
A-37 Dragonfly, and an F-5A Freedom Fighter. But they're just
Cool.
marked as future releases right now. So
Have you ever seen one of these in person? Like done up?
I'm sure there's been one or two at shows, but I can't say for sure.
Interesting. I'd like to see like a Jet Mads kit.
Yeah. I've heard
Just
mixed
up
reviews. Some
close.
people say they're really good. Some people say the accuracy, depending on the subject. It seemed to be one of those companies that seem to have gotten better as they've gone.
Yeah, well, you'd
Which
hope
makes
all
sense. Yeah.
companies do that.
Yeah. Right.
Backslide. Well, that's very
Okay.
interesting.
Speaking
What's
of
next?
big, Geico, new figures, 1/16. They have two new figures. Rommel the Desert Fox. Looks like he's standing there with a tripod with, you know, his telescope looking out over the battle. And then Princess and Dog, obviously Queen Elizabeth when she was a princess serving during World War
Oh
II.
yeah, mechanic.
And this looks like a Schnauzer, not a Corgi, a wiener dog. So maybe she had a wiener dog during the war, because I was
Ruby don't
expecting.
per they didn't have permission for her likeness, so they substitute in something.
I guess,
I
yeah, but
wonder if that's the
it's
case.
her. It's her. She was a
Yeah.
heavy diesel mechanic during the war.
Yes.
Service
I
trucks.
was
Yep.
aware of that. Yeah.
Yep.
But
Yep.
it just
So.
see it doesn't say the this naming convention, Princess and Dog, right? Like it doesn't
Yeah.
say,
No.
you know, figure of
No,
Queen
it's not going
Elizabeth or
to.
whatever. So
No.
yeah. So it might be just a swap of detail to try and protect themselves legally. But
Yeah.
yeah, interesting.
Yep. I think
Interesting
it's good. Somewhere in the palace,
subject.
someone's saying, "We almost abused."
Yeah.
I'm sure, but there's my attempt at Queen Victoria there. Very poor attempt.
Queen Elizabeth.
No, Queen Victoria was known as saying, "We almost
Oh,
amused."
right. Yes.
All right. A lot of Edouard news in May. They got a lot of stuff coming out as always. So I found the information for distributors for May. The big news is their P-51 kit. That's going to be an awesome kit.
Oh,
It's going
yeah.
to be the dual. It's the Overlord dual combo. That's going to be very popular. Of course, two
Oh,
kits in
yeah.
it. This
Yeah.
is the B and C. So that's going to be nice. A lot of accessories coming out for that. Also, they also mentioned here because a certain TV show out right now.
Yes.
B-17s are popular again. So
No
as they say
kidding.
here, quote, "This time we would like to inform you about a kit set to be released in August 2024. Given that it will be very specific limited edition, we seek your feedback." So they're going to work with Hong Kong Models and the 100th Bomb Group Foundation. They're going to produce a 148 B-17 F-bomber and focusing on the legendary unit nicknamed the Bloody 100th. So Hong
Cool.
Kong Models going to do the kit. And then they're going to do what do they got here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 decal schemes that served in that unit in 43,
That's
including
awesome.
masks, photo etch parts, and brass and parts. So this will be expensive, but if you like your B-17s,
This could be the jewel in your
the
collection.
jewel, yeah,
The
basically,
jewel,
exactly.
yeah. Now, Stuart, can we talk about Masters of the Air a little
Let's
bit
talk
since
about
we're on,
Masters of the Air.
yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're
Because
talking about.
I'm super enjoying it. I'm watching it with a couple of our pals, Ben and
Right.
Pablo,
Yep.
and we're not up to date as they're coming out. We're kind of we're savoring it, but we haven't. I think we're about episode five, and boy, is it! It's amazing. It looks so real to me. I'm going to challenge any critic of it. I think it looks so real that during there's one particular episode. I think it was episode three. It was stressing me out.
Yep.
Because
Yep.
it
No.
really gets, it leaves nothing to the imagination
Oh, yeah.
about what it was like to be up there, and it's just fascinating. So I'm really enjoying it, and I think they've gone out of their way to make it historically accurate as
Yep.
possible.
Yep.
And it is a fictional or whatever. It's a dramatized
Yep.
account,
Yep.
obviously,
But
but
this is all
really
this stuff
enjoying it.
happened.
Yeah,
There was a
it's all
high,
documented,
very high
right?
attrition
Fairly
rate.
well.
Yep.
Yeah, it's unbelievable what the what those crews went through. So, but I just think it's a fantastic looking show. Haven't seen any where we're at. We haven't seen any of the P-51s yet, so it's not going very well for our boys. But what a great show! And
Yep.
I remember about 10 years ago there was a teaser for what eventually became this show. I think that stalled out, right? It was called The Mighty Eighth, and it was going to be put together with the same production team
Yep.
as Band of Brothers, right?
Right.
And it just never, we've
Never
never heard of it again. It
materialized.
was like
Yeah.
a 1 minute clip or something.
Yep.
And then, so obviously something happened, but this has been a really interesting read. And I would like to point out to our listeners who may be not familiar with Macross, that this is kind of this enjoying this type of show and then building models of, aviation, World War II aviation. That's kind of what Macross is to. Building the models from that. So
Yep.
that's what's such a big deal to actually be able to watch the shows that are the stories and characters and the machines and whatnot. So,
Right.
yeah, fascinating stuff.
Yep, very, very good. Yeah, I've only watched one episode so far, but it's in my queue to watch some more. So yeah, definitely looking forward to it. What else do they have? So the same weekend they released the Mustangs, they're
Back
going
to
to release a
Edward.
couple of 1/148 scale Mark Mark 9Cs, a late version and a regular version. And of course, that's just the weekend edition, so it doesn't have the mass and everything. But of course, Edward will be happy to provide you with anything you need. They've also got a lot of photo etches being released for the Buccaneer, for example, the 148 scale, some tanks, landing flaps for the FM1, the F-14A 148 Great Wall Hobby. They've got a photo etch set for that. A lot of new, both regular and color photo etch sets. So definitely check that out. They've also got one for the Hobby Boss Iowa, the 1/350th scale Iowa. Three different decal sets that I look at, or three different photo etch sets. I look up and I break out in a cold sweat. You know, I've got this 1/350th Fletcher class destroyer, and at least now one can buy 3D printed stuff.
You have this kit?
I have that. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you cracked into it yet?
No, God, no. It's got a wet instant photo etch set. And again, I look at it and I go, my God, I'm not going to fold 28 parts to get a Bofors.
Patience. You got to be in the mood, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be rails. I'll do the rails, but like stuff like gun directors and like, you know, if you want 20 millimeter Oerlikon, I'm not going to be assembling seven parts. I'll buy the 3D printed ones.
If you can get a 3D set that's one piece and looks convincing.
Yep, one or two pieces. And I always said that's the only way I would build 1/350th stuff. So I have a few in the stash
I think photo etch is not ever going to go away because there's certain elements, like physical elements that just look really good. As a model, as a scale
rails.
Model
rails, for example.
Yeah, I was thinking even I just bought a little set. It was like a set of futuristic Vulcan cannon barrels.
Yep.
Right, like a three barrel.
Yeah, you just roll it,
and it has like the collar for it and some other pieces to go with it. I would deal with it in plastic or resin if I had to, but it's my preference would be the nice little photo etch set.
Yeah, whatever works. Exactly. Yeah. This is what's nice about the hobby. You do what works for you.
I can't wait to get into 3D printing. Well, I can wait because they're sitting here staring at me in the package still, but
dude.
I bought a bunch of stuff to set up a printer farm.
What are we going to do with you?
You know what? I've been building too many models to stop.
I know. That's all right. We'll forgive you.
The trains are rolling.
We'll forgive
you.
I'm
on for the ride. I'm like crushing all my projects.
I know. It's awesome. We're going to talk about that in a little bit as well. So, all right. Let's finish with the news here.
Yeah. What else is coming out?
Dukes.
Really?
He's been getting into 3D printing, by the way.
Oh, yeah. He loves it.
Yeah. He's just announced 1/16th Sherman tracks for the Andy's Hobbies 1/16th Sherman. He's
got
five types now available. Because apparently the Sherman had more than one type of track. Who knew? I'm sure the Sherman experts do, but I didn't.
I've heard something about Sherman tanks and that there was like over 4,000 produced.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Huge numbers.
Over the course of the war.
Yep.
4,000 plus. And of course, there are so many different versions and modifications and whatnot, improvements made along.
Yep.
But fascinating.
Well, what's he been doing is he wanted to do this because when I first got into designing 3D tracks, it was out of sheer disgust with Mung's woeful Merkava 4M track design. So he makes these like press fit track pins. He tries to make these easily assemble.
Okay.
And he's got the designs. So he's selling the designs. Okay. So he's going to sell the designs, not just the parts, but both. Okay. So
like you download it and print it.
If you have a 3D printer, you can just buy the design and then print it.
And I'm sure it's all set up, ready to go.
Yeah. Or if you don't, you can have him print it. And that's
And he'll send parts out.
Yep. Yep.
Well, good for him.
Yep. I like this. Awesome. It's good. Good for him. I always like his blog and his articles and
I've been enjoying his writings and especially his technical. How to's that I've really enjoyed those over the years.
I have a to do to get them on, so we're going to try and get them on again. So that's kind of cool. What else here? Oh yes, and then last but not least, before we go to ScaleMates, Airfix has released a second version of their 1/48 Tiger Moth, the de Havilland.
Oh yeah,
Basically just brand new decals. But what's interesting about this is one of them is known as the Britannia Flight. This was the last biplane to land on a British aircraft carrier.
Oh,
So
wow.
it landed on July 1st, 1965 on HMS Eagle.
That's cool.
Probably a fairly easy landing for it, but again, end of an era sort of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's two
That's neat.
schemes. You can get a lot of other goodies if you want, but
Those are really attractive schemes too. Like, I'm not really a biplane fan, but like, it's they're pretty cool. I'd build one of those. It's
And
awesome.
I think Jeff bought one for or someone did in the club. It might have been
Dang.
Jeff,
Yeah,
so
they
I have
look
to nag him
great.
to get it built. But yeah, all
Especially
sorts of things.
that first one, the Royal Navy one, is that the Britannia with the
Yeah,
red stripes?
Britannia Flight. Yeah, you can see it approaching the aircraft carrier.
Oh yes, yeah, it's the cover art. Oh,
Yeah, the
that's
cover art,
really
getting
that's
ready to land.
fantastic.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, so that would have been cool.
Absolutely.
Okay, now let's
Well,
go.
wait, let's back
Sorry.
up there a second. This airfix kit, this is coming out. This is a repop with new decals.
Yeah, so they released one last year. The year before, it was an all new
Okay.
tooling. So they're
All new.
basically reissuing it with brand new decals.
Okay. And what's the price for our listeners so they know about this beauty?
£17.99 from our good friends at Hannett's.
So about double that for
No.
not
Hang on.
quite.
Let me switch the currency. Yeah, well, 34. Yeah,
Yeah, that's a good.
the pound shot up a bit then.
Okay.
So yeah, still not bad for
That's
40-ish
a
kit.
pretty good, that's a very affordable project
Yeah,
right there.
it's a good build, people say.
And
So
aviation notable.
yeah,
Yeah, very
very much
cool.
so. Very much so.
I like
So
that.
that's kind of cool from our good friends at Airfix and Hannett's.
So
Okay.
we know what's going on now in the scale news. You gotta tell me about all the patrons that are supporting the show. How's that going?
Well, they're still there. We
Yeah.
have
Well,
a
let's
we
give
have a
them some
few
shout outs.
we well we do when they email in and do that. So feel free to email in, let us know what you're working on. I keep reminding you guys, and see now and now Anthony's telling you that. So get your tail in
Yeah.
gear.
Well, and I mean, you're 137 years old now, Stuart.
Yeah, I know, I'm an
That
old
is
fart.
definitely due to the support of your
Well, yeah,
huge
and I thank the patrons
Patreon
every
community.
time. Exactly.
Yes, and we do thank you
Exactly.
guys for all your support, guys and gals.
Definitely. Okay, Scalemates, new releases. As always, I see what's new tool full kits. We've got Border Models doing a Kirov airship. Looks like a fantasy thing. Hey, you know Jeff's been working on a Zeppelin, right?
Yeah, that's great. What a
Isn't
cool
that great?
subject.
I know,
Like
but hey, here's another one for him.
like a
Look at
real
this
one,
thing.
like the Hindenburg or something,
No, this is
or
like a
like
fantasy
a
one.
no, the one that Jeff's doing.
Oh yeah, he's doing it. It was a World War I airship, and he's done the
Yeah.
story as it's all of a sudden ended up over a volcanic island being attacked by pterodactyls. It's great.
Jeez.
I love it. He's bringing it to
I've
the show.
seen Okay, great. I'd like to see it.
I
I
think
have
it's
seen
great.
some very cool blimp. Or I don't know what you call them,
Dirigible,
dirigibles, yeah,
Zeppelins. We call them
blimps.
Zeppelins.
Once in a while, it shows those models come out, and they're always so fascinating. And I've seen a couple of really cool ones over the years, for
Well,
sure.
look at this fantasy one here. It's like a
Oh,
steampunk
it's
one from
Soviet.
Border. Yeah.
Look at the big hammer and sickle on the
I know, but
side.
look at this thing. It's got like props, it's got like a little bomb rack. It's got shark
So is this
teeth.
a gaming thing,
It's got
right?
to be for something like that.
You must
Yeah.
play with
Some
it.
sort of steampunk, but that's awesome. Oh,
Red oh,
it's from Red Alert 2.
Red
From
Alert
the video
2,
game. Yeah,
which
they've been doing stuff
a
like
game,
that. Our good
okay.
buddy Johnny in the club, he just finished a like Soviet tank thing that was like two tanks in one. I wish I could remember the name, but
Oh,
again, I'm hoping he brings it to Heritage Con. It looks
was an
really good.
object something something,
No, this is again from
or
Red Alert.
border,
Yeah, if you look at our
okay, a game
IPMS page,
thing,
you'll find it in there.
yeah.
Okay, what else do we got here? We have the number 57 Armored Project. This looks like something right up your alley.
Where are you? I'm
Third
trying to
one
find
down,
it.
Kirigo.
Okay. Number
Kirov Airship,
57,
North
armored
Dakota.
puppet. Love it.
Yeah, that one
Yeah, I
there.
don't know. What is this
Okay.
thing? Looks like a figure. Looks like
Looks like it.
a. Yeah, you know what? So, Stuart, I'm really a kind of a
I know.
classic anime fan. I don't
I
know any
know.
of
I
this
don't know.
stuff.
There's all this other stuff. I know. So there's a
Yeah.
bunch of stuff there.
Oh, okay. I'm just looking at the bottom there. It has the sculpt. Credits for the sculptor and the
Okay.
character designer. an illustration. I don't know what this would be, if it's a video game or a TV show, but all the stuff I like is like 80s, 90s, 70s, 80s,
that's
90s.
right.
So
That's
I'm
fine.
really,
That's,
I don't
that's
know what
right.
all the stuff
That's
is.
okay. Then we've got a company, Model 3D. They're doing a lot of 1/72nd scale various Italian armored units. This is from March 17th. A
Okay.
lot of different stuff there.
144th. No, sorry.
1/72nd.
172nd.
Yeah, if you go down. Model 3D INT. A lot of Italian stuff. The
Oh, I
Italian job.
see.
Yeah.
The Bossato and the light
Yeah.
truck
Yeah. And
and the DA light truck
infantry
with
fuel
a.
gun. Oh, there's a what if near the bottom there. Die Glock. Luftwaffe what if project. Is this like gonna go to the moon? Looks like a oh dear.
Looks like a pod.
Yeah, who's going in? I'm not going in. You're going in. They're gonna have it available in three different scales.
Yeah, I gotta
35th,
say,
40th,
I'm not.
72nd.
I always think that Luftwaffe, the Luft 46 kind of subject area is kind of neat. Science fiction hyper weapon.
Yeah.
That's what the description is. Die Glock Luftwaffe. So, yeah.
I don't think I want to be sitting in something that's classified as a hyper weapon,
It
because
looks like a suicide pod.
I have a feeling. I have a feeling
Five
the
figure crew.
I know. So I have a feeling the motion integrity field doesn't quite work. You might be pulling a few G's.
Oh
Just,
goodness. It's
you'll end up as a smear on the wall.
a real sausage party of a crew in this tiny little
Yeah,
capsule.
holy cow. All right, what
It's gonna
else
be
we got
nuts to
here?
butts in there.
Yeah. So March 15th, there's the Atreides Ornithopter 1/72nd.
Well, that's gonna be cool. I could see the glint in your eye.
Oh
New
yeah, I'm
purchase.
tempted. It's tempting. I would definitely have to. I need a large space to deploy. That's the
Yeah.
problem. Even
Did
with the
you
wings folded back.
read the books, or were you a
Oh yeah.
fan of that
Oh yeah.
series from
Yeah.
way back?
Huge, huge, huge fan. I got out of it after about the fourth book when it really started getting weird. But
Complicated.
the first
Yeah.
two are fine. Yeah. Looks like a Chinese sci-fi selection from the Stellar Class Warship from something called Natural Selection.
Could
There's
be
a
a
lot of
game or
Chinese
something.
sci-fi making its way. March 15th.
Interesting. How do you know it's Chinese?
Because the characters say Chinese from what I can see there. And the brand is Chinese, Orange Cat
Never heard of
Industry.
that. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a
Three
lot of brands
line?
coming out, and the Japanese sci-fi's, or sorry, Chinese sci-fi is becoming quite big.
Yep.
You got The Wandering Earth and other
Yes.
various
Yep. I was
IPs
going to
like
say
that.
that's, I've never seen that, but it's obviously quite popular
It
and,
was good. It was good. It was a good movie. Well, recommend
yeah.
it. The concept's a bit, but the movie and the effects and everything was very
Exciting.
good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving down, March 14th. Oh, HMS Trafalgar with non-acoustic sensors, 1/700th from OKB Grigov. And then March
Interesting.
13th, the Red
That's a
Bull.
resin kit.
Yep. And then March 13th, a newer Red Bull F1 car. We were talking about this on how the licensing is probably just killing manufacturers, because try and
Yeah.
get licensing from these F1s. That's why
Well,
you're not seeing a lot.
don't they just leave off those particular
Well, okay,
decals?
yeah. So there's two issues.
They
There's
just omit
the
them.
cigarette and the booze, they leave off. But the problem is, if you want to make a model of a Ferrari,
Yeah.
you have to pay Ferrari for the licensing.
Oh, and they're not. Oh, there's no like public domain on age of these things, is
No,
there?
there's not. Nope. And
It's always
especially for
a
newer
license.
ones. Yeah. So
Yeah.
Ferrari, a lot of them are making big bucks on the diecast market. So there doesn't seem to be as much
Yeah.
demand. That's what you remember years ago, you'd see all the Tamiya ones. They had
Yeah.
all the F1s from the
That
70s and 80s.
those are
Nope.
really revered
Yep.
kits.
Yep.
Like people
Yep. You
love
don't
those
see
kits. And they're
them.
from what, the late 70s, early 80s?
Yep. Yep.
And they
I
were a
built a
big deal at the
Ferrari.
time.
I built a
Yeah.
Ferrari, the beautiful kits, but you're just not seeing as many. And I think
Yeah.
a lot of it's to do with licensing. Okay,
Tamiya
here.
must have splurged on
Yeah.
that at the time to get those licenses to do
Yep.
those kits, and probably was their
Or
flagship kit of
the
the year.
licensing's people, the manufacturers didn't realize how big they were going to be. Now
Yeah.
F1's a huge money-making machine, right? So
Oh, yeah.
everything's got a price tag on it. Okay, here's one that one of our sponsors, Cult TV Man, will definitely have on the
Okay.
13th. The Wasp Woman.
Oh, yes.
Scratch Hobbies. Look at this.
This will be available for sale.
Isn't that someone you want to bring home to mother?
Yeah, lovely. That will definitely be for sale on Cult TV Man. I'm sure of it. So it's a
Definitely.
1/8 scale, but it's a figure kit, full
Yep.
kit, new tool, Classic sci-fi, and that's right up Steve's wheelhouse
And you
right
know
there,
there'll be
right?
some there at Wonderfest if he if he
Yeah.
if it's out and if he can get it, and I think he says he's getting it soon. You know,
Yep.
he was at the Atlanta Model for IPMS show last weekend from us recording this. Yep, Steve was. He had a good
Excellent.
time, apparently. So
Very good.
down to the 12th, we have some drones.
The ghost bat.
Ghost
Good name.
Bat, Firebee drones, some more full kits. Some Bandai stuff. I like this one here. March 11th, about the fourth one down. My first kit. How to get your littles into building model kits. The only thing it's like a two different cars. Okay. The only thing that I find rather creepy is that the people are wearing hubcaps for faces.
Is this the
Yeah,
Boom-ger
Boonberger
first
first
kit?
kit. Yeah,
Okay.
click on
Let's
it and
see
look at the
here.
thing here.
Oh yeah, hubcap
Doesn't that look a bit
faces.
creepy? Like, I want my face.
That's what all that superhero
I
stuff looks
lost
like
my
in
face.
Japan.
I know. Yeah, I realize that in Japan it does. But yeah, it looks like it's a base kit, so no glue required. And
It looks like the henchman from that from Squid Game.
yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe that's what's creeping me out about it.
Yeah,
So
because they
yeah,
were
that could
creepy.
be. That could
Yes.
be. Yeah. So
Super
anyway.
Sentai. Okay, so Super Sentai
Yep.
is the term for that type of they're like superhero team live action shows
Yep.
that became a genre. That's they look just colorful
That's
uniforms
like
and
Power Rangers, right?
teams. Yeah, they're a
Yeah.
Super Sentai show. I forget what it was called in Power, that was like a localization for US. It was called something else in when it came out in Japan in the 70s or 80s or whatever. But
Yep.
yeah, well, you know
Well,
what?
it looks
They'll
like a base
be
kit.
a
Ten
simple
pieces.
kit.
Ten
It'll be
pieces.
as yeah, the kids or beginners will get a nice little thing out of it and probably strike some interest in building
Yep.
models.
Yep. So
Not like the
that'll
good old days when we had to spill glue
carve it out
everywhere
of
to try
wood
and
and
get
melt our
something.
own plastic. And,
Oh yeah.
you know, it looks
Trying to
like
build a
it's.
kit.
I went down to ScaleMates and looked at the product history, and looks like these two vehicles form also the arms of like a giant fighting robot. You know,
All
obviously
right.
they all morph together. So, gee, we
That's
haven't
very
heard of
Super
that concept
Sentai.
before, right? Yeah, the
Yeah.
classic Super Sentai. Oh yeah, definitely. But that's rather cute. Okay, so that's all
Yeah.
what's happening on ScaleMates. Now we were just talking about him, the man, the myth, the lesson, the legend, Mr. Steve at Cult TV Man. Anthony, I don't know if you've been to his site lately, but
I
he has an
haven't.
absolutely ton of things, and
Going right now.
we're gonna talk about it right now.
Yeah. Oh,
Awesome
okay.
stuff
These are
there.
neat. So Dune's obviously making
Dune's
bit of a
making a big thing.
splash
Yep.
right now. That's great. That was a good. I really enjoyed the first part.
Yep, he's
Just
got a
gotta look
lot.
at
So
the.
he's announced the Ornithopter, the
Nice.
172nd. Yep. So 25-inch wingspan.
Yeah,
And
that'll be
oh, it also
awesome.
includes a figure of Paul Atreides in standard and deluxe version, 1/12 scale.
Oh, that's
So
cool.
that's
Right
coming
on.
out. Of course, we have Vampyra. Some back issues of Amazing Figure Monitors. Amazing Figure Modeler.
Yeah, that's a good magazine. If you're interested in figures, it's worth picking up a few.
And then we also have Fine Scale Maulers Paint Award-winning figures.
Yep, that's an excellent issue.
Yep.
My brother gifted me that.
Oh, nice.
Such good
Okay,
stuff.
well, if you haven't
Fantastic.
got it yet, make sure you can order it
Yeah.
there. Then we have some of the classic Atlantis prehistoric scenes, including the cave bear and the saber-toothed tiger. They haven't been available for over 30 years.
Wow.
Sorry, 50 years. I
50
apologize. 1/13
years.
scale. So
Oh, man.
a big kitty looking
Yeah.
slightly annoyed. And so does the bear. Do you ever notice these prehistoric ones? They also look very annoyed.
Yeah, they're all fighting over the last scrap of food.
And then, of course, they have an update on the Bela Lugosi kit from X Plus, the Dracula kit. I did mention this
Yeah.
last time. Unfortunately, he's had to increase the pre-order price, but that's in line with their most
Yeah.
recent releases from X Plus. But again, they think it's well worth it.
What are we
So
at here? So the pre-order price for that Bela Lugosi vampire or Dracula, sorry. US,
$64.99
right?
will be now.
US.
Yeah, US.
I mean, just the way kit prices are, that's not a bad price
Yep.
for
1/8 scale.
what 1/8. Yeah, it's huge. It's a big kit,
Yeah, it's a big
right?
kit. It'll look good.
And I'd like to say too, listeners, if this kind of thing is your jam, like classic Dracula and all those movie monsters, Atlantis model kits from the 60s, you'll have a blast at Wonderfest. Because I always talk about Wonderfest about all like the sci-fi. But that's like the, you know, the mecha and machinery, spaceships and all that. But that's really just one aspect of it. There's a huge contingency of these figure modelers and people painting like quite large scale busts and these classic comic book characters. And that's all there. It's not kind of, it's not my main focus, obviously, but if that's your thing, check it out.
Yeah, definitely. Well worth checking out. Okay. So as always, when you shop at Cult TV, man, mention that the Scale Model Podcast sent you. All righty.
Never say we never did nothing for you.
That's right. That's right. Are you going this year?
I think it's going to work out. Yes.
You're going to make the pilgrimage? Good stuff. There's always a good Canadian contingent that goes down. Very good. Okay, yeah. So what's on the bench? Let's start with you.
Okay, sure. Well, bench? I mean, I've been crazy busy. I've been neglecting my website. I've been neglecting taking pictures because you can't stop building model kits.
Can't stop.
I'm just about to finish this. We were talking about earlier. It's a 72nd scale. It's an old vintage. And when I say old and vintage, I mean brittle and delicate kit of it's an MI kit of an 80s MI kit of the Legios Armo Fighter from a classic anime Genesis Climber Mospita, which most people would be familiar with as like the third chapter of Robotech.
Okay.
So I'm doing it up as a UN Spacey livery. So with the Macross, the UN kite on it. I kind of did a bit of an F-15 modern F-15J kind of scheme to it. It's almost done. It's been the plastic is weird. It's like part of like sometimes it just flaked apart. I had to rebuild a couple bits, but so interesting. This was like an eBay score probably from 20 years ago, and somebody had painted it a little bit, and I just cleaned it up and then started again. Right. And over the years, I've been picking away. It's part of my Shelf Queen laundry list. So I modified it a bit to have like a Valkyrie cockpit with some bits, but it has like a UN Spacey pilot in it. And I did I did up the cockpit with some detail. I kind of changed the landing gear around a little bit, some other details, but not a bad kit. So the kits in that time from Japan always had the retail price stamped onto up until about, I want to say maybe 5 years ago.
Really?
You could always see, you could look at the code and see the price. So I'm just showing this to
you'll have to send a picture of that. You'll take a picture and send us.
So in this particular case, it's 300 yen. So it was meant to be like a $3-4 kit.
Yeah.
I think I probably paid about $20 for it. And anyway, but I'm working on that. I did finish my Hazel Gundam, which was another. I think last time I was on, I was working on it. We talked about
you
it.
You were working on that.
I did something interesting. I think I might have mentioned this on the podcast many moons ago, but I actually did a no paint kit. I did a long time ago, Bandai. I believe was the first company to do this in 1990. They released four kits as part of their high grade line.
Okay.
And the kits, what they did was they had multicolored runners.
Yes.
So, and I've never seen any reference to that anywhere, beyond like earlier than 1990 when they put out the kits. So they did the Gundam, the RX-78. They did the Zeta Gundam, the Mark II Gundam, and the Double Zeta. So like those are the flagship mechas from their 80s shows, right?
Okay.
And they were really neat. They were two of them were transformable. And they just had these beautiful box arts. They were state-of-the-art kits. They had pieces that were multicolored, but like a single piece.
And they led the way because that was a revolution at the time.
And now we're seeing that, right? And it's really great. It's even better. But the kits, looking back now, like there's better versions of the same subjects, right? And they're a bit clunky and there's some accuracy issues. Accuracy being the primary thing, you know, line drawings.
Yep.
or the anime itself, right? But you know what, they're so cool. I kind of just slammed one out that I've had kicking around for years, and it was kind of like partially put together, and I didn't want to paint it. I just wanted a quick build. So I did clean up the seams as best I could. There were some weird seams on it, and then used like a flat varnish, right, or like maybe more like the semi-gloss, and I did some oil paint panel lining and the little tiny bit of weathering, and just cleaned it up and kind of, you know, I put some magnet. I actually spent a little time making a nice base for it.
Nice.
And I, you know, I did, I actually polished the plastic and did decals, and then just sort of sealed them in, and they look pretty good. And surprisingly or unsurprisingly, decals went on nicely. So it's kind of just a different thing. Like that in current hobby life for a lot of people doing Gundams, they are not gluing and painting their kits.
Yep, I know. Yeah.
And and it's been marketed that way for a long time.
Yeah.
And people can buy a lot of projects and essentially get them done and have something, right?
Yep.
And I've never done that because I come from the same, you know, background you do, right? And probably most listeners, where you have to glue and paint it to make it look like anything. Yep. So it's kind of an interesting little, and it was a quick project. I've got another slew of Shelf Queens all locked and loaded. So
good for you.
And more to be revealed later, but they're coming along. And good what are you stuff. Working on, Stu?
Well, I was going to ask that first one you were working on, that was in the Robotech world, that was known as the Alpha Fighter, right?
Yes, it was supposed to be like a next generation.
Yeah, I like Valkyrie, that kit. Right? That would be one I'd like to get to at some point. So I'll have to keep my eyes open. Well,
it's not rare, so no,
I keep my eyes.
Yeah,
and yeah, that's what I thought. Either. No, you've done a really nice job on that one. Okay, I've been doing a lot of little things. So yeah. I finished, you know, I finished my YF 21, which became the CF 21. In Canadian service, had a great backstory. De Havilland built it. Went together really well. You know, a few mistakes, but learned a few more things. Definitely the next one I'm building, I'm not putting the tail planes on until it's almost done. Because the tail plane, the fit on this one was very iffy. But other than that, I finished the two, I think they're one 200 scale, the Atreides and Harkonnen Ornithopters from Dune. Finished those. Again, great little kit. They really remind me, in fact, it's the same stand design as you get with the Star Wars ones, the little tiny Star Wars kits. And they're basically beautiful fit. You don't need glue if you didn't want to. Also finished painting. I got from someone in the club, I got a 1/350 or 1/700 scale USS Dallas and the Typhoon class submarine, you know, Hunt for Red October, basically. They just couldn't put that on the box at the time.
Yeah.
Great little, you know, about four parts per sub. So I'm just working on painting them and painting the bases. And then I'm really back into BattleTech minis. Catalyst, and people already know, Catalyst has the IP for it right now. And they're producing some beautiful plastic minis.
Oh, that's
absolutely
great.
And Game Chamber has them, and they keep calling to me. The next thing I know, they're jumping into my hands, you know, and they have to come
home. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So there you go. I've got about 12 of those. I've got another five I need to crack open and get painted. But I'm really enjoying that. And I've also got some fantasy clerics I picked up there.
Right on.
So really nice getting back into mini painting. Been using a lot of the AK and the Army Painter colors. They're great acrylics for that sort of thing. And you airbrush a base and away you go. So, yeah, it's been nice to have a little break from the more complex kits. And that's what these projects are doing. Now I just have to decide what I'm going to do next. So, again, there's the Valkyrie. There's a whole bunch of things. I haven't decided. I probably won't decide till after HeritageCon. But that's what's been happening right now. So, okay, what we're reading, this is a new thing we've been doing, Anthony, where we've been kind of going through what books people are reading and, you know, what's interest them. So I'm still going through The Year Without Summer, 1816, the volcano that darkened the world. So basically in 1816, a big volcano erupted in the Philippines area. And basically there wasn't a summer, like drought and cold frosts in August all over the world. So it's interesting, some of the various sub-stories they're doing. So it's a good little read. I've been enjoying that. I'm about 3/4 of the way through. It's an ebook. So yeah, it's nice. I can read it for a little bit at night. And what have you got? I know what you've got. You were showing me this earlier.
Yeah, it's pretty tasty.
Yeah.
I recently got my copy of Scale Aviation. It's the January, it's number one, I guess, of 2024, the January edition, or volume 155.
Yeah.
So this is the Chris Sievers aircraft edition. So I'm a big fan of Chris. We know him
Oh,
as,
aren't we all? We get very jealous of Chris. That work on the Valkyrie he did, I hate him for it.
Yeah, we're all big fans of Luftraum 72.
Yep.
So this is a great issue. I actually don't have any other issues of Scale Aviation. That was kind of my first. I mean, I'm not a huge magazine guy. I have sort of key issues of a couple magazines that I really really enjoy. This is a fantastic issue. It's quite glossy. It is all Japanese. There's obviously some news and that kind of thing, but and as the title suggests, it's airplane focused, but it's got a great spread on Chris's F-15J, which is just a beautiful kit. I think it was a, I want to say it was a Fujimi kit.
I think so. But you know what? He can make a turret into a jewel, so.
It's got some other really great planes in it too. They sort of cover off a few, like they have some World War II stuff. They've got the Rita, Jack. Somebody did up a Rita. It's quite detailed. They've got another really cool turbo tracker, an SF, or sorry, S2F3AT. That's kind of neat as like a California Fire. Oh, it's a, and then there's another one, a Bronco done up as Cal Fire, a Catalina Fire Eaters. They've got some like civil aircraft in here. Really great stuff. They do a mini spread. Oh, they've got a, what's that there? An F-86 Sabre F. Really great photography, really crisp and clear. But they do a really big spread on Chris's F-15. They also give a little bit of love to some of his other builds. Like they've got a Supermarine Seafire in here, his Lavochkin, the Valkyrie he did shows up, as well as the F-14 from his F-14 book.
Yeah, the
But this
F-14 book's
one,
quite good.
oh yeah,
We got a review copy. Jeff's currently got it. I got to get it back from him
it
at
is,
some
that's a
point.
fantastic book,
Yeah.
and it really does. Oh, sorry, it's a fine molds kit that he did, and they
Fine
make,
molds. Okay. Yeah,
yeah.
that makes sense.
Now, the jewel of this issue is that you get a disc, a DVD that has, this is really great. I'll have to loan it to you. Fortunately, my Blu-ray player still, because I don't have to try more. But this is how Japan works. They're like the most forward-thinking, but also kind of like stuck technologically. They're always an interesting dichotomy that way. But anyway, on this disc is a program featuring Chris, and he's doing two things. He's outlining some of the techniques. So it's a how-to video that he used on the F-15J that's in the magazine, and it's very cool. So he's talking about using inks to like Liquitex to do some of the shading and tonal variation, right? Awesome stuff. And then the second part of it is that he has the editor of Scale Aviation comes from Japan to visit him, right? And he's a fellow Ontarian like we are. And
Yes, he
so
is.
he takes him to his favorite hobby shop, which would be Wheels and Wings in
Wheels and
Toronto,
Wings.
Ontario, which is an awesome shop. It really is. It's one of the best
Huge.
shops I've ever been to.
Huge.
States, Japan, Canada, that's the limit of my exploration, but it's a great shop. And then he takes him also to the Heritage Warplane Museum, which is another favorite place of ours, right? And
Yep,
they
it's where we
tour
have the
around
show.
there. Oh, can't wait. We're going to be there in a week. And they do a cool fly along in the Mitchell that they have there, and some videography from there. And it's a really cool interview. It's a neat little package, and you get some great sort of reference material and some technique stuff out of it. So I've been sinking into that recently.
Well, no, that's good. Like I said, you gotta keep reading. Okay, now we have a pre-recorded ad from our good friend at Sean's Custom Model Tools. Here we go. Now we're going to talk a bit about Sean's Custom Model Tools, one of our other sponsors of the Scale Model Podcast. Some very cool things, both 3D printed and the Goodman Super Sanding Blocks. Let's start with the Microset and Microsole Decal Set Bottle Stand. This is purposely designed for the Microscale Set and Sole. Most modelers over the years, they've tipped these bottles over. So this is a very handy thing. At $14.95, you can put them both together. They're printed in blue and red for easy identification. Comes with a black base, and they actually have little magnets on it, so it helps keeps them in place. Definitely a good deal. I use mine all the time, and I can well recommend them. Let's talk a bit about those Goodman Model Super Sanding Blocks, namely the Value Pack Combo for $28.99. You get the 80 grit, 180 grit, 220, 320, 400, and 600. Just an amazing set, just what you need. And you can also, if you want, you can also get a sanding, Super Sanding Block stand for it, which also really makes life a little bit easier, helps things keep it organized. The other thing too is they have the awesome model tape dispenser for your various tapes. It's basically a 3D printed thing. You put spools of your tapes. It's got a little razor blade to help cut it, and it's really, really good design. So yeah, works out really well, and yours for $19.95. So check out these and other amazing deals at seanscustommodeltools.com and also on Facebook, and tell them that the Scale Model Podcast sent you. Okay, things we've seen. What have you seen, Anthony?
Well, it's maybe something more I've heard than seen, but I stumbled across this podcast. I've been loving podcasts for building. I'm trying to get the computer like out of my workspace, right? And I find it's really improved my output. But I stumbled across this podcast called Mobile Suit Breakdown, and it is amazing. It is the best Gundam themed podcast. It's so intelligent and thorough. It's really interesting. So the premise is there are these two people, Nina and Tom, are watching all the Gundam in chronological order as it was put out. And then they're doing analysis. They're doing a little bit of a rewatch thing. Mm-hmm. So they're recapping what happened, but they're doing more of an analysis like of the show and the story, and also of the time that this particular thing was made. So like the original Gundam show was from 1979. So they're talking a lot about the background of the people making the show, and they were all born like kids or born right after World War II. Okay. And I didn't realize how much basically Mobile Suit Gundam is a retelling of World War II from a Japanese perspective.
Okay.
And there, sometimes when you watch anime or you watch any kind of like cultural product from not your own place, there's little oddities and weird things that you're just like, that what, like what's that all about, or how, I don't understand what they mean there. And a lot of it you just sort of, oh well, you just fluff it off and you don't know, is that just something weird that they did, or is it come from a cultural aspect that you just don't have any familiarity with? So these two hosts, they are doing very thorough deep dives into kind of what was happening in Japanese society, what was happening in anime production, what was happening in the lives of the people who were the creators and artists and whatnot, and production team. So it really gives it a whole new sort of clarity and understanding of the show. Now, I've watched the show twice through, and it's almost like hearing it brand new, and you kind of get some of the nuances because they're fluent Japanese speakers. And it's quite interesting because one of them is a longtime fan and the other one has never seen it, as we're watching it for the first time. So she's speculating about things that are going to happen. So it's it's very interesting. So it's given me a new appreciation of this classic series, and it's almost better now that I understand some more of the, you know, you start to understand character motivations coming from a Japanese attitude, right? It's really neat. Yeah. And some of the science stuff, like they have some great guests that are, they have a physicist and a, like an actual psychologist come on. So the physicist will, they'll try and dissect some of the science fiction-y stuff that you think is you kind of watch it like, oh, that's pretty goofy or weird.
Okay.
Whatever, but they explain, well, that probably could work based on this, and it's set in the future a little bit, so it's quite interesting. And then the psychologist looks at like character motivations and how they interact, the Japanese influence of why they do what they do. It's a really interesting read, so I've been just loving that right cool. now. So I'm mixing it in with all my model podcast listening.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay. Well, mine's kind of similar, and I just added it. I've been enjoying the remake of the Shogun series mm-hmm. from the novel from James Clavell. And if you go on YouTube, you'll see there's quite a bit of backstory with like what they did behind the scenes.
Yeah.
To try and make it as accurate as possible. And I know you've been to Japan, but it's simply stunning, like what they're mm-hmm. doing, far better than the 1970, late 70s series that the Americans.
Yeah. This is like a new reboot, right?
Yeah.
This
and
is
it's
current.
Just gorgeous. Yeah. Absolutely gorgeous.
Excellent.
My wife and I are watching it. We're currently current. We're waiting for episode 5 to come out. Because they're really good at doing kind of shocking end cliffhanger. Not cliffhangers sometimes, but just shocking scenes at the end. You just can't wait for the next one. So awesome. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, it's all subtitled, but gorgeous scenery, of course. And just you know, they've really done their homework to make sure it's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So
That's
kind of
excellent.
cool. All right. So we're also sponsored by, which again, rather appropriate, all this Macross news by our
Oh, yeah.
good friends, Brett and Chrissy at Return to Kit Form. You want to get masks for your Macross Valkyries?
Guess who needs to make a big order?
Yeah, exactly.
This
There
fellow.
You go. There you go. Well, you can go to their website, return2kitform.com, and you can order up your masks and stuff like that. So definitely check them out for all your goodies as well. All right. So also for more modeling podcast goodness, we have our listing site at modelpodcast.com. That's something where all the podcasts have gotten together. You can see what other podcasts you might enjoy. We're also on Facebook, YouTube, and of course, scalemodelpodcast.com, where we have, you know, the world's finest scale model podcast notes, show notes. We've been told that, actually, that we have awesome show notes and pictures.
There you go.
Because Anthony's
toot, toot.
I know Anthony's going to send me a bunch of pictures of what he's been working on.
We'll
I'll
take
have
some pics.
Mine. I know Terry Measley, you couldn't join us tonight. He's been working on his XP-47. So there'll be a couple of pictures I'll throw in there too.
Terry's always cooking up something good. And those pictures look really cool.
Yeah.
I'm looking
and as
forward
always,
to seeing those.
Depending when this is released, it's either going to, I'm hoping to get it out Saturday night, the night before HeritageCon.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening to this on the way down to HeritageCon, make sure you stop by. We'll have a table there. Us and the Plastic Model Mojo and the Model Geeks. There's a few podcasts there. Come and see us. Come and say hi. And
Right on.
You can see you can see why we all have faces for radio.
Speak for yourself.
Okay. Three ugly guys and the handsome guy. But remember, ladies, he's taken. So,
yeah.
All right. Anything else we got to talk about, Anthony?
Oh, there's always more to talk about,
yeah.
Stu, but we'll have to save it for another day.
All right. So for episode, I hope you have a good closing parting shot.
Oh, my saying. Goodness.
There we go. No,
yeah.
no pressure. For episode 137 of the Scale Model Podcast, my name is Stuart Clark.
Yeah, I'm Anthony Goodman.
And
let me just think here. I can't really top the terror himself,
no,
Terry Measley. But
can't.
You better sniff that glue, even if it's by accident, and get your plastic built.
And well done. Well done. Okay, that's awesome. Thank you and be well.